Tonight, I'm going to be in John chapter 20. I know we're skipping some chapters just because Easter is coming, and so I'm going to kind of circle back, if that makes any sense, right? So in John chapter 20, there's two short verses that we're going to look at tonight, and John, it's right after John has already spent the last two chapters describing the death, burial, resurrection, and the appearing of Jesus, and he wraps up chapter 20 with two verses that I think sometimes if we're not careful, and I tell you this all the time, if we're not careful and we don't slow read our Bible, we'll just go over and we'll let it skip right over and we'll miss some of the most important parts, right? Because I just believe that the Bible is inspired by God. Can I just say that to you? Like, the Bible is God's inspired word, every verse, and it's the authority, and we believe this, right? The authority of our faith, what we believe, and for our conduct, how we behave, right? The Bible sets that. Can we just get back to that, everybody, right? Like, not my circumstances, not did I have a good day. No. My faith is in Christ and his word, and it's solid, right? And what I believe is shown in how I behave. That means that we value every verse, even the short passages. So tonight I want to look at the end of chapter 20 of the book of John. And notice that even the Bible gives a heading for this little passage. And it says, the purpose of this book. The purpose of this book. Again, I could preach tonight, y'all. I'm tired, but I'm full, everybody. And I ain't full because I had a big dinner. I'm full because I've been in the presence of God. Amen? John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it says this. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book. But these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you, by believing, may have life in his name. And again, sometimes you read through scripture and passages, and sometimes things just pop off the page at you, right? It just sticks out to you. And I hope that happens tonight as we look at these two verses. Because here's what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that what we truly believe should have an impact on how we live. Let me say it this way. I'm convinced that how you live is a reflection, a real reflection of what you really believe. Isn't that true? Like, when I think about my own life, whether I'm thinking about areas where I'm strong or areas where I'm weak or places where I succeed or places where I fail, I have to be honest, I make decisions, and can I just say this? You make decisions on the basis of what you truly believe. Not what you say you believe, right? Because anybody ever said, well, I know I should eat better, but in goes the Twinkie. Come on, somebody. Right? If you really believed, come on somebody, if we really believed that all this stuff was so bad, heaven know, we wouldn't eat it. But we're like, eh. Right? Because we do what we truly believe. Right? That's why sometimes I get frustrated. I'm like, everybody's like, oh, God's first, but everything else is first. Right? We say he's the number one thing, but everything else, right? Money's more important, family's more important, job's more important, sports more important, my hobby's more, right? And that's not being judgmental, right? That's just what we say we believe is reflect, or what we say we believe, like it's going to come out in our behavior, right? For example, what I believe about prayer and family and money and relationships, right? Why would I pray to God if I don't actually believe he's going to do something? And can I tell you why we can't get people to pray, right? It's because we really don't, we're so comfortable in our middle class life that we don't need God. So therefore we don't pray until we get desperate in America, right? Right? Why would I pray if I don't believe he's going to do anything? Right? Why would I be generous if I don't believe that God loves a cheerful giver and he blesses those who take care of the poor and give to missions? Right? So John is finishing up chapter 20 by making a connection between what we believe and how we live. He's reminding us that as we believe correctly about who Jesus is, it will, listen, it will, when we get our belief right, it will have a direct impact on how we live our lives. Right? And I really wanted to preach this on Sunday, just to be honest with you. Right? I think this is what these verses are going to help us to do. John directly connects our belief to our behavior, connecting our understanding about who Jesus is and our discipline as Christians. Right? So, but what does the church tend to do? The church says this. Here's why the church in America, I think we're in such a sad state, because we push behavior on people. You got to behave right before you can belong. Right? Somebody who's on drugs or has an addiction or whatever, or you know something about them, they come into church, and for most churches in America, they're blacklisted. Jesus is a redeemer. Thank God he redeemed me. I don't know about you. Right? But John is saying the purpose I'm giving you of this gospel letter or this gospel is to help you believe right about Jesus, and the result will be behavior. Right? But religion always puts the cart before the horse. It always wants you to change your behavior before you believe. Right? And one of the reasons America is becoming a post-Christian nation is because we pushed behavior before belief and belonging. You got to get your life, quit smoking and you can come to church. Go get your tattoo removed and then you can come to church. Get rid of your addiction. How many know they can't, if they could do it by themselves, they wouldn't need a savior. Right? But that's what we do. We are so horrible sometimes, as Big C Church I'm talking, right? About making people behave before they actually have a chance to believe. We make them behave before they can belong. Right? And listen, I just need you to know. Listen, we got to know Jesus before we can know what he wants us to do. Right? Now listen, I do want to say this, right? Because sometimes we're like, well, you know, would people do anything? No. We hate sin because Jesus hates sin. Right? We don't just do what makes us happy, right? We're supposed to do what makes Jesus happy, right? Can I just say, when I ask you to, hey, we ought to praise God that people have been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in the last few weeks. We ought to thank God that we're doing missions. Come on, somebody. That like we got a team and they're going and we're taking care of elderly. We're raking yards and we're helping a church recover. Like we ought to have something stirring on the inside of us. Like, thank you, Jesus. And we shouldn't have to have a cheerleader to do it. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? We're not supposed to have a holy huddle with our friends and like, praise God, I'm blessed, I'm going to heaven. Poor those people, right? But listen, we got to know Jesus before we can know what makes him happy. Right? Does that make sense, everybody? We're not ever in this lifetime going to understand all there is to know about Jesus. But if I could show you a process tonight to help you understand Jesus better and believe him more, believe in him and more faithfully and live in a way that honors him more consistently, and he would say, I'm all in. So let's slow read John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31 again. It says this, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book, but these were written purposeful so that you may believe that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in him. Here's the first thing I want us to see. First of all is that we believe in Jesus the Christ. The first part of this verse 30 gives really just some general commentary, basically saying, hey guys, there was more to the story than what's in these chapters. Right? Like, there's more to it. But I gave you the most important parts of Jesus' life and ministry, right? I gave you what mattered most was covered, right? There's more that Jesus did, right? says earlier, he says, if what all the things that Jesus did was recorded, the world couldn't even contain all the books, right? But he hit the high points. It's kind of like looking at your kid's photo album, right? You keep photos of the important moments, right? But how do you know you don't capture every single moment of everything they've done, right? After you look at a photo album, you could always go back and say, man, there's a whole lot behind that photo, right? Right? Like if my mom was looking at my photo album when I was a kid, she's like, yeah, before that smile, I beat the fire out of him. Come on, somebody, right? Like, smile, be happy, boom. I'm like, quit hitting me and I'll smile, right? But then in verse 31, John gives the reason he wrote the whole gospel letter, right? He says this, but these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Man, this is so good. That Jesus is the Christ and that he is God. That's the two things that John says, hey, I give you this so you can believe, and here's the two things I need you to believe. And so first he says, I want you to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Some people think Christ is Jesus' last name. But it's not. It's a title given. Right? And John's audience of first century Christians would have known what that term Christ meant. Just like we would, right? When I say president, how many know, like, you have associations with what that title means, right? He's the leader of the free world, right? He's got power. He's got planes. He's got whatever, right? When I say Pastor Jeff is the lead pastor of Life Point Church, you have things automatically come up to your mind, like he's this and he's supposed to do this. And we right? They would have known that, right? They would have known what Christ meant. And it meant so many things to first century Christians. And they would have known exactly what it meant. And let me just give you a few things, because it's one word with a lot of different meaning, right? First of all, Christ is Savior. That means he saves us, listen to me, from eternal death, right? Like, not your headache, right? Not just your headache or your bad toe or whatever. Like, he saves us from eternal death and the punishment for sin. How many know that or stir something on it? Like, oh, I'm a good old boy. Good old boys go to hell. Jesus rescued me. He's my Savior, everybody. Then he's our deliverer. He delivers us from the bondage of sin. Let me just say this. Sometimes we're like, okay, God, thank you for bringing me out. But how many know he delivers you unto freedom? He didn't just take you out of your bondage. He brings freedom to your life. He doesn't just, right, get you out of trouble. Like, one day we're going to be with him in heaven, everybody. He's the Lord. That means he's the master and the control over our lives. And we know we like Jesus as the Savior and we like him as the deliverer, but sometimes we struggle with him being Lord. Right? But he's Lord. He's God. Christ is God. He's the master. You know what that means? He rules. Hallelujah. I said he rules. Not my emotions, not my circumstances, not what I'm walking through, right? He gets the final say in my life. Right? I wrote this down. I put it on Facebook. I haven't got any likes yet, but I will, maybe. If Jesus is the Christ of your eternity, but he's not your now, like if he's not Christ now, then he's not Christ. Right? Right? If you think, oh, I'm going to be good. If he's not Christ, if he's not Lord, if he's not master now, he's not your master. Christ means anointed one. Jesus carries the anointing of God to heal and deliver and save. Can I just say this to you? Right? Like, listen, we're not anointed. We're under his anointing. I mean, you know, like, I don't save anybody. You don't save anybody. Jesus saves. I don't heal anybody. You can't heal anybody. Jesus is the healer, everybody. Right? Right? He's the deliverer. He's the one. Right? We walk in his anointing, not because we're anything. Listen, it's like, I remember a story, Tony Evans. He was chaplain of the Dallas Mavericks back in the day, and he had a friend of his go with him, and they got access, you know, access to go on the elevators in the back, you know, where all the sports guys was, and the guy was kind of freaking out because he had never been, like he'd only been to the, like that's where the common people, like you just go in the big deal, but they got go, you know, pull in the good parking spots and go in the back way and the special treatment, and the guy was like, hey dude, are we supposed to be here? I don't know if I can be here. He said, yeah, you can be here. Like, you ain't nobody, but I'm somebody, right? Like, you with me. Come on, right? Right? Like, I ain't nobody, but Jesus is somebody. You got to tell, oh, Pastor Jeff ain't nobody. I get that, but I'm with somebody. And I walk in the authority of Jesus, right? In the anointing of Jesus. So John is saying this whole letter, and I believe the entirety of the Bible is given so we can first believe that Jesus is the Christ and all that that means. Right? How many know only Jesus can save you from sin? Only Jesus can save you from eternal damnation and separation from God. He's the only way. The Bible says no one comes to the Father except through believing in Jesus. And then John goes on to give us a second purpose for writing this gospel. He says, listen, we got to believe that Jesus is God. John chapter 20, verse number 31, it says, but these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What does that mean? Isn't it true that in America particularly, just the way we think, we always think of sons as lesser than their fathers, right? We're like father, then son. That's how we view father, son, right? But in ancient culture, the son was actually to be to do better than the father. The firstborn son was actually to carry on the name and the legacy of the father to the next generation. So John is wanting them to see and wanting us to see Jesus as the heir and the equal with God, right? So what that means is that he is God, right? The first to be the first son is to be full in power, the full heir in power and authority. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15 says this, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Right? It means that he is equal with God, right? John chapter 14, verse number 9 says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. John chapter 10, verse number 30 says, I and the Father are one. Right? He's the creator. Colossians 1, 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Now, sometimes, how many are like a little confused right now? You're like, wait a second. Genesis says that in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And now I'm saying, no, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. What does that mean? See, the Bible is full of contradiction. No, if you actually read on down in chapter 1, in verse number 26, it says this, it says, let us, plural. So actually, when you study this out, in Hebrew, in the beginning, it says Elohim created, which is plural. Come on, somebody. That makes sense? So there's no contradiction. Who created the heavens and the earth? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Everybody, right? He created it all. He's the creator. He's all powerful, right? Right? Can I just tell you? Listen, if he's all, like the Bible says that Jesus has been given all authority, all power. So how much does the devil have? Hello? If all authority has been given to God, to Jesus, then that means the devil has only the authority that we give to him. Well, that's not what it feels like. I know, that's why, but like we're walking in our feelings and not in the faith. We're walking in what we think instead of what the Word of God says. Right? And so, listen, he's all powerful. Right? He's the Son of God, the Creator, all powerful God of heaven and earth. Jesus is God and He has the power of God. He's the head of all. He's Lord. Again, that word, we don't like it. Again, but He's the boss, He's the master, He's the Lord, and He's in charge. Right? I'm just going to meddle for a moment. Right? If He's in charge, that means it doesn't really care, right? It doesn't really matter how I feel. He cares how you feel. I'm not saying that, right? He cares. Right? But Paul said it this way. He said, for His sake, I'm slaughtered essentially every day. I die daily. How many of you have been to a funeral home? You ever poked a dead person? Kissed a dead person? I don't recommend it. I mean, I wouldn't poke them. Right? But how many know they have zero feeling? They don't go by feeling. They just go wherever the person over their over charge of their body goes. Right? Right? They don't say, hey, I think I'm going to go jump in the hearse right now. It doesn't happen. That person who's in charge places them where they want them to be. If God's in charge of our life, yes, He cares about how we feel, right? The Bible says we serve a high priest, but he identifies where our weakness is. He I'm not saying He doesn't care. I'm just simply saying, listen, He's the boss. And if He's boss, then I have to walk in what He says. Right? Just like we do every other day in every other thing. Oh, got to get my kids over here. So I go over there because we make that boss. Oh, right. I hate work, but I'm going because I want a paycheck that's, again, temporary. But I'm going to go here because that's my boss. And again, we got to work, right? I'm not telling you, right? The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Come on, how many know? How many got some people you love? Wish they'd get a hold of that scripture, right? 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 Like, get a hold of that. Like, you want a scripture to start with? Get a job, right? That's thus saith the Lord, right? But the book of John is and the Bible should grow our faith and teach us to believe that Jesus is the Christ and He is God forever. And those beliefs, if we get that and we understand that's who He is, right? That it's not like Tinkerbell, like all up in the fairy tale, but that's who God is. Like I believe it, then it should result in living a life where we believe right and then we'll behave right. Right? So number three is live life in Jesus' name. Now, again, as a church, we hold this conviction that all the Bible points to Jesus as the Christ, as God. We actually have a doctrinal statement that the Bible is our authoritative rule for faith, what we believe and practice, how we conduct ourselves. Right? I know we don't talk a lot about that much anymore, but I'm just here, like, we just got to bring revival back to, like, this is what we believe, right? Like, we got too many people walking in and just like, well, this is what I feel and this is what I think. Like, listen, can I just tell you, God's not going to change His mind because of your feelings. Like, at some point, again, I should have brought we got some new umbrellas the other day. I should have brought one, right? Like, if you're going to walk in the blessing of God, it's like having an umbrella. There's a way to walk, and when I get my belief right, I'm going to have my behavior right. And if you want to be under the protection of the Lord, then you're going to have to walk in His ways, right? But I got to believe. And believe He really is coming back. He really is a soon coming king. He really is the boss. Like, president's the boss. He ain't the boss. Right? Can I just tell you? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, everybody. Right? Like, we got to get our eyes off of this world and on Him because He's the one in charge. Then He says this in John chapter 20, verse 31. It says, but these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you have life in His name. Remember what I said at the beginning. That how we live is a direct reflection of what we actually believe. And again, people are like, well, you're judging. No. Nobody's judging. It's just the truth, right? How you act, how you think, how you vote, who you associate with, your devotion life, your faith, your prayer life, what you do with money, how you spend with money. Like, well, I can't give to the church because I got to keep my kingdom financed, right? Everything you do is a result of what you really, really believe. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 7, verse number 21 through 23, right? Again, we're not judging, but here's what he says. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Here's what Jesus is saying. Your actions and your mouths are an overflow of what's in your heart. Right? Well, you're judging. No. Jesus says, listen, what we say and what we do is going to show what's in what we really believe. So John wrote this gospel so that we would see Jesus as Christ, see Jesus as the Son of God, so that by believing that, understanding that, getting that in as a reality in my heart, that I would live life in His name. Right? Can I just say this to you tonight? This may not be popular. I don't want to live life in my name. Right? I don't want to live my life as, oh, I'm just an American. I don't want to live my life as a white middle-class dude. I want to live my life in His name. And can I just tell you, I'm really concerned today in America. Listen, I'm the most patriotic person. Every time I listen to the national anthem or I stand and put my hand over my heart, like, man, I almost cry, right? Like, I'm the most patriotic person. But listen, there's something greater than being an American. My citizenship is not this place. Come on, somebody. Can I just remind you that our citizenship is in heaven? Right, we're all worried about the kingdom here, and like, I've just kind of gotten free, y'all. Right, like, oh, success, blah, blah, blah. What difference does it make if you're successful in the wrong kingdom? You got money and retirement, and you're living your best life, and you're in the wrong kingdom. I want to be successful under His name, not mine. I want to build His kingdom, not mine. How many know that'll get you free? That'll get you off the fast track to comparison to everybody else getting to go to Disneyland. I don't get to go to Disneyland. Everybody else going on vacation. I don't get to go on vacation. Everybody else got it. Right? Listen, I don't have to compete with the wrong kingdom. This is not my home. Heaven is my home, everybody. Don't you wish the people who needed this were here tonight? That was funny, y'all. It's all right. Don't just smile. Laugh out loud. It's good. That's why I say, guys, we got to read the Bible and do what it says. Can I ask you a question? What would it look like for you to actually live life in Jesus' name? I mean, think about it. What would it look like for your financial practices, your relationships, your politics, your health habits, your prayer and Bible study, how you parent your kids, your work ethic, your marriage? What would it look like if every part of your life reflected what you believed about Jesus being Christ and God? And that by believing that, you lived every part of your life in Jesus' name. Right? What would it look like? All right, I've done this every once in a while. Somebody will come for counseling in marriage or whatever. And here's a question I've asked before. I already know what the answer is going to be. But I ask this question. How can we come to a resolution that would honor Jesus? And what I've discovered is most people don't want that. They want to be right. I want life in my name. I'm right. He's wrong. Nobody wants to, hey, how can we, in this situation, how can we bring a solution that brings honor to you, right? Paul said this in Philippians 1:27, I'm almost done. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So here's where I want to end tonight. How many of you were taught growing up not to say the Lord's name in vain? Anybody? Right? I was always taught, right? So we don't say God when we're mad. We say gosh because we're Christian. Isn't that right? Right, we don't say God blank because that's taking his name in vain, or saying his name in vain, right? Again, can I just encourage you, right? Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 7, right? Read the Bible slow. It does not say, don't say the Lord's name in vain. What'd you talk about, Pastor? It doesn't say don't say the Lord's name in vain. It says don't take the Lord's name in vain. How many know that's different? He's saying, don't take my identity in vain. Right? If you belong to him, then you live for him. Right? 1995, December 1995, Michelle and I got married. She took my name, right? Before December 16th, 1995, she was Michelle Dawn Hayward. But when we got married, I'm going to just put some financial stuff in. Like we joined everything. Come on, somebody. When she took my name. We've got some shared values and what we believe about raising kids and what we believe about the church and our mission and our ministry, right? Like some people like, well, Michelle, she's not in ministry. No, she's ministry in a different location, right? Because I know some people like, well, people, you're paid full-time ministry. No, we just all minister in a different place. Like, so we took on that, right? We have some shared values and some shared things, right? So John's letter is a call for us to believe right, that we understand who Jesus is, and our belief and understanding compels us to live our whole life wholeheartedly for God. So here's my question. In what areas would you say you're doing well in honoring Jesus? How many would agree it's okay to say, you know what, I feel like I'm doing pretty good in this area of my life. Like, I think I'm praying pretty good, and I think I'm, you know, preaching pretty good. I think I'm studying, and I'm making God's priority, and I'm building everything else around that, right? Like, it's okay, but what areas are you struggling? What parts of your life are influenced by your belief in Christ as God and Lord, and what areas of your life is culture dictating what you do, right? I just want to challenge us tonight to stay in his word, believe in him correctly, and let him impact the way you live, right? And can I just say, like, it scares me sometimes. I'm not trying to be anything other than, like, the Bible says, let me just give you an example, right? If I believe he's who he says he is, and I believe the word of God, it's his infallible, inspired word of God. Can I just tell you what the Bible says about work? He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart, as unto God, not as unto man. Right? Do it heartily unto the Lord, not as unto man. How many know we're always about the man? How does God impact my life? I go to work not griping about it. This is not my notes. This is where y'all get mad. Not griping about it, but I'm working for God. Right? And I'm just going to brag on Michelle just because she stays on the front page all the time, right, in the paper, right? But can I just, right? Like, we don't, now that doesn't mean we don't have issues every once in a while. But can I just tell you, if all we ever do is gripe about the gift that God gave us, the ability to work with our hands and produce money for our families to feed our if I really believe what the Bible says about work, then I'm going to have a different attitude about work. If I really believe that God, that children are heritage unto God, are heritage for, like, dude, I parent different. They don't just get an iPad. They get me. Come on, somebody. They don't just like, go watch TV. Go outside. Get out of my face. Right? And today I see so many people, they pray, they beg God, give me a baby, and now they're griping about him all the time. Like, what we believe about God should impact how we live our life. And I'm just saying. So here's the deal. Maybe you feel like you're far away from God. I pray that tonight God draws you back to him. Or maybe you're like, man, I'm here. I love Jesus. But how do you know we can all grow deeper in our devotion? All right, so this isn't bad. Right, this is, hey guys, right? Oh, I don't have to get it all together, all my behaviors together. If I can get my beliefs right, then out of my beliefs, knowing who Jesus is, and he is God, he is the Son of God, then that's going to create a different behavior. And listen, when we really understand who God is, it will. I think we get so spiritually apathetic. We're just like right here, and I believe. But let me just remind you of what the Bible says about belief. Even the demons believe and tremble. So praise God for your belief. But let it go from here, inside of here, to stir something inside of your heart. It was like, God, you are moving in my life. God, I live different. I'm not better than anybody, but I'm different than somebody. I'm not spiritual, holy, holy up here and all these poor sinners going to hell down here. But I am different because I know who I believe in. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And because of that, I live in his name.